Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The Delphi murders have haunted the public for years, but the deeper we dig, the more things don't seem to really add up. Richard Allen is behind bars, convicted on questionable evidence at best, while glaring red flags about Ron Logan were ignored. Why did investigators shift their focus? What behavioral cues were missed? And how does tunnel vision impact justice? We're joined right now by retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program and True Crime Today contributor, Robin Dreek, a master of behavioral analysis, I will say. I like that title. Do you like the master of behavioral analysis? I think that's a good one.
You know, I saw when you wrote that in this week and I was like, huh, I started chuckling. Every time you hear things like that, you give a chuckle because, you know, we never see ourselves as masters or experts in anything. We're just,
sure,
you know, living our lives, getting data points, but it is fun. Yeah. It is a great joy to interpret human behavior, mm-hmm, so we can try to understand the craziness of the world around us. So yeah, an interesting point you made there, Tony, was what behavioral clues were missed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything was missed. Ignored is the word.
Mm-hmm.
That, and like you said, you know, we've been covering this case for a while, and it's been around a long time, and it kind of took an ebb and a flow onto it.
Yeah,
and different than every other case we've covered as well. Since he's been convicted and sentenced, we're diving even deeper, and I mean, I've never been on the side that he's guilty because no one's actually showed me the behavior pattern that says he did it, regardless of confessions or motives. I put all that aside. You just look for patterns of behavior. His patterns of behavior never really fit someone that would do this crime.
No.
And so when a pattern of behavior doesn't fit a crime, you're looking for evidence because it's either got to be one, the other, or both. Neither is present except for a bullet that they found on the ground there. And so now you start looking at other people in the area. And other people fit a pattern of behavior that were totally ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the first thing you want to do, and I know I'm rambling here, and thing you want to do in these situations when you might have law enforcement investigative biases, because we all have them, when we get emotionally tied, especially if we live, work, and play in the same community that we're serving, like a small town like Delphi. You will have investigative biases because you want to solve crimes. You're emotionally invested in the people in the community. And so that's when it's really, really critical to have that objectivity come in and give you that loving critic view of things. And that's what they did. They had the FBI come in. And when I saw the FBI search warrant and all they were seeing in someone else, I was like, oh, there was your loving critic. There was all the behaviors they saw that were not missed. They were ignored. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we've given the benefit of the doubt for a long time onto this, maybe to the investigators to a certain extent of, well, was this overlooked? We use terms like that, overlooked, missed, things like that. This is willful ignorance with the Ron Logan being part of this. I mean, I want to tell the audience, in case they're just catching this, I want to set this up so people understand just what happened here, and then get your perspective from the FBI on what the hell happened here. Basically, when the girls were killed, they started looking around. The FBI came in, started investigating, and the FBI took the lead, but they worked with local investigators, the state police, and the Delphi authorities, and they dug deep into this. Ron Logan was their main suspect. I don't know if he's ever truly been dismissed as a main suspect, other than the fact that he's dead. They had all the info. They went into his home. They did the whole warrant to go in and search his property for probable cause. The agent even said, I believe this is the person who killed these girls. There's obviously a lot of things here that play into it being Ron Logan, from the location of where he was, his cell phone data, puts him at the crime scene of the time of the crime. He calls his friend and says, I need an alibi for this time to this time. Before the bodies were even found, the list goes on and on. A history of violence, a history of abuse, a history, allegations from his ex-girlfriend of being uncomfortable seeing him around little girls. And all of this, I mean, I'm just scratching the surface of how many things point to Ron Logan. FBI goes in, does their investigation, and then Delphi kicks him out. They're like, we're good. We got this. Our Keystone cops are going to handle this from now on. Oh, by the way, what's this silver platter you have here for us? Oh, it's basically everything on Ron Logan that shows him being the main suspect and likely at least being bridge guy at the very least. I mean, it's crazy. And what did the local authorities do? We think we're going to look somewhere else. We still don't know what the FBI got because they're not going to obviously reveal it. And the local authorities aren't going to reveal it. So it's just sitting there. God knows what they found in that house. The question is, why was none of that ever acted on or looked into further? Tell me about that a little bit, the dynamics of when you have the FBI involved in an investigation and the local Keystone cops say, we're good.
Yeah, this is what I call all the elements of stupid are present.
Yeah.
I wish there was a great answer for this that I had. I really don't. I mean, this one is really so befuddling to me. So the locals always have the jurisdiction to be lead on these investigations, and only when it's a federal crime does the FBI take over with supporting roles of everyone else. And so FBI was in a supporting role in this. And so it is at the discretion of the locals, and the local prosecutor is really the one that is going to say what they want, what they don't need, what they want to go after, and what resources they want to try to get. And so they're really the one that is going to be driving, you know, how they want to prosecute this case. And for some reason, again, I have no clue. I mean, Tony, some things just get so befuddling. Again, when we don't know, when things don't make sense, we've said this so many times on the show, when things don't make sense, there's a lot of things we're not seeing. There's a lot of priorities of individuals that are involved here, pain points, friction points, mm-hmm. things that are causing people shame that they're blocking out, that they're keeping from public sight, because if it doesn't make sense, there's a lot of crap being hidden. And I'm with you on this one. Before, I'm always defaulting to mistakes, doubling down on stupid, doubling down on mistakes, you know, avoiding embarrassment. You know, when you make a first misstep in an investigation, it's easier to just double down on it because you don't think anyone's going to pay attention. But when you look at the earlier stages of this investigation from years ago, like 7 years ago, all the things that were done very properly, very good on an investigation, because when a crime happens, you take in data from everywhere. No one is innocent. Mm-hmm. Everyone's innocent till proven guilty. But I mean, you assess everyone in a whole area and you look for data. You look for evidence, both behaviorally and materially, that's going to start giving you a filter of where to focus all your effort. And all the filters that we saw earlier on were not with Richard Allen. Now, granted, he admitted to his presence there during the same time frame. So
voluntarily.
Right, take a look. Yeah, absolutely. Which, again, fits a pattern of behavior of someone who wouldn't do this. I mean, all his behaviors were very – and again, I keep going back to happy people don't kill people. People that are loved and admired by others and have good family relationships don't kill people unless there's a major, major psychotic event that happens. Mm-hmm. That deviates from pattern behavior. But in general, that does not happen. The stats don't support that. And no criminal activity, no criminal background, no anything that pointed towards Richard Allen as opposed to mm-hmm. Ron. As well as an X that says it looks like him on the bridge.
Yes. Oh, let's I want to bring that up here again real quick so everybody can see it for a second. This is Bridge Guy. This is Ron Logan. Bridge Guy. Ron Logan. So the whole story that, well, there's no real evidence, there's nothing that really points. And this was done, this comparison right here, done by the woman who holds the world record, literally the Guinness Book of World Records, for solving the most crime through forensic analysis and things of that nature. It's again, all of this ignored, all of this present, all of this data Delphi investigators had. But we're going to look somewhere else. I mean, and don't even, we're not even getting into Keegan Klein here, the guy who's into child porn, who's now in prison, who was communicating with one of the girls and planned on meeting her that very day.
One of the greatest things we look for in murder cases is connection between the victim and you know, the assailant, you know, the murderer. And again, Richard Allen, no connection that we saw or knew of. And these other two did have connections. You know, Ron knew the father, from what I understand. And you have this other person that's into child porn. And so, I mean, just it makes no sense.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.